Thank you for the Sajjan for inviting me. You know, like he said, it was short notice, but that doesn't matter. You know, in the sense of, you know, if I am free, and I definitely will accept, and it's a privilege to be bringing God's word to the church in Varka, the DBF congregation. I want to thank Pastor Chandran for sharing the pulpit. And I'm so privileged that I can bring God's word to you. And, you know, this morning I want to look at a passage from 1 Peter. Now, we are going through difficult times. There is no question at all. You know, perhaps we have had many years of peace around the world, and not everywhere. Some places have seen worse times. You know, we know from the news what happens in places like Syria and many other places. They've gone through difficult times. But this pandemic has been something that is globally, you know, disrupted the life of everyone. And in India, especially now with the second wave. So it's possible for us to feel that we are going through something which we have never gone through. And also the fact that, you know, there are a lot of teachings which come up. But the problem has been that this is not the first time that we have gone through difficult times in the world. You know, as I said, there are certain places where people have gone through difficulties, and in fact, worse than what we have seen. I remember reading about a plague which happened in 165 AD, which they blamed the Christians for it. And it seems nearly, in those times, 2,000 people died every day. And a lot of people died. And so the death of everyone increasing was not new. And it seemed to have happened many times. And so the whole question is, how do we look at the scripture in this context? Now, the tendency is, because we've not gone through such major problems, and all that many of us have gone through is perhaps personal illness or personal times of calamity when we have lost a job or we have had people who have troubled us. And so what has happened is the tendency is to choose and pick up certain verses from the Bible, not knowing actually how, you know, the people in the scripture have actually gone through perhaps more difficult situation. And may not be because of the plague alone, but for instance, persecution in the early church was incredible. In the first, I understand, according to church history or even outside history, is that in the first 300 years, that is till 325 AD, out of a population of 70 or 7 lakh Christians or 7 million, 70 lakh Christians, 20 lakhs were killed by persecution. That is a big number. That was a big number. And so you can imagine the persecution against Christians and large number of people being killed and have to flee homes. And how did they handle it? Now, I believe there's a lot in the scripture, and most of the New Testament letters were written by people who were going through that persecution. The Apostle Paul wrote most of his letters while he was in the prison, and the way they handled it. And I think it's very important for us to understand that this plague as well, and the suffering that we see around and the grief that we see around, cannot be handled by choosing few verses from here and there, but looking at the context of the scripture to know how did they handle. Because it's not the first time, you know, people had to go through difficult times and something like persecution. And to make things worse, in fact, in the plague that I was reading about, the Christians were blamed for it. They themselves, the emperor, had needed a scapegoat. And the whole thing was to blame the Christians for it. And just imagine, you know, that you identify one community and for no reason at all, and they being identified as the reason for the plague. And somebody, because the emperor could not handle it. And so the persecution of Christians increased because they were seen as the reason for the plague. But interestingly, the Bible gives us enough to understand how to handle or how to go through difficult situations. And so this morning, I want to look at 1 Peter, because Peter was writing this particular letter and even the second letter, knowing fully well that he himself will soon depart. He writes to the in the second letter that he writes to the people, you know, to whom he wrote the first one. He tells them, you know, I have been told that my time of departure is coming soon. I'm not sure whether Peter knew how specifically he was going to depart, but he knew he was going to die. And definitely he knew that, you know, almost all the other leaders before him had also been killed. I don't think he would have expected a death which was different. And that's how it happens. According to the history, church history, Peter died crucified upside down on his own request. So we know that Peter was writing in the context of this persecution and suffering that was happening. And he was writing to a group of people who also were the victims of persecution, because he writes in chapter 1, he says, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the province of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. You know, he writes to them because they were scattered, not scattered because they went looking for a job and they were not the diaspora Christians who had taken some moved citizenship somewhere else. They were scattered. The word scattered is basically where some action had been done on them, so they were thrown out. And so that's what it is. So they were not living in a luxurious life, you know, because they would have been, in 21st century language, more like refugees living, you know, they had to run away from their home. They would have taken their basic minimum, and families living in places which were difficult places. But Peter was writing to them this particular letter and encouraging them to handle the situation in a way that is clearly an overflow out of their experience of God. And so this morning, I want to look at this passage in the time that I have. And I've chosen a long passage from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to chapter 2, verse 10. Now, I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to look at this passage, because what Peter explains to them how do you handle a situation like this? How do you handle a situation? And there are 6 important things that I notice in this passage, which I want to look at today. And I hope, you know, it would be a blessing. As I said, you know, suffering and difficult situations were not new to the early church. But how they handled it is something that we need to learn from. And very interesting, you will notice they did not do some picking up of certain verses and talked about it. They, in fact, talked about an experience with God which helped them to handle it. And that's very important. So the first thing that Peter would say is in verse 3. And I want to look at this aspect. Peter's epistle is largely about hope. He talks about this hope. And that is why I titled the talk today as hope is not a feeling, but it's a lifestyle. You know, people watch whether we are a people of hope or not. Because with the lockdown, there is no way in which people are watching us, because we've all withdrawn close into our houses. But that is the sad part, you know, the early church, like not only the early church, in many parts of the world, the church has grown through persecution. And, you know, when you read about persecution in other parts, like in China, the church grew incredibly, you know, in terms of its numbers, but it did not become invisible. It did not become, you know, pushed into places, but they looked for creative ways to continue to spread. So I think it's very important to know, it's like, you know, we look at the doctors and nurses, the health professionals who are so involved. Imagine, you know, of course, we saw some news in Gurgaon where they said the entire, you know, health professionals fled from the hospital because they couldn't find oxygen. And the people were so upset, you know, they said, you know, how could they do this? You know, the health professionals fled from the place because there was no oxygen. And when they opened, they found people who were dead. I don't know how true it is, but it is sad because, and also the many people, in fact, all of us would get angry because that is not the time these health professionals should flee. And in the early church and in the history of persecuted church, it's very interesting, in spite of the increased persecution and increased pain all around, the community of faith never fled. They just stayed and they became very visible. I'm not saying we should break the lockdown rules and go out, but we need to look for ways in which we can actually be people of faith, hope. So Peter writes to them and says the most important thing is to grapple with the fact of the hope that we have. So in chapter 1, in verses 3 onwards, till 3 and to 5, he talks about this hope that we have. He says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." He starts firstly by saying, you know, praise God for the hope that we have. Now, I think it's a very important aspect that we need to recover about the use of praising God for hope, you know, in difficult situations. But unfortunately, sometimes we as Christians, use praise as though, you know, it is a therapeutic, event. Because, you know, it's like going to a doctor. You know, last night I had to consult my doctor for something. And he said, you need to increase your dosage of medicine for something. Now, he said, that's how we guide people. You're going through a difficult time, increase praise to 3 times a day, you know, some kind of a dose. And for many Christians, I think praise is like whistling in the dark. You know, I remember when I was young, we used to visit my family members who were living in extreme south. And when I used to visit them, you know, we were all young cousins, and the cousins used to tell us there are ghosts around the place and don't go out in the night. And if you have to go out in the night, you know, whistle loud and the ghosts will flee away. And for most Christians, praise is whistling loud. You know, we think if you simply quote Bible verses, in the name of Jesus, we bind the virus. Now we need to understand that's not what praise is all about. Praise has got a very specific content. It's not a ritual that we increase so that we can handle the situation. And so Peter would say, praise God, he says, for the hope that we have. This, you know, through God has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And this hope, he says, has a component, it says, an inheritance that can never spoil, perish or fade, and this is kept for you. And who are you? You are the ones who through faith are shielded by God's power. So the first thing that Peter would say is, you know, learn to remember. Peter is very strong in emphasizing, remembering, recollecting. And in times like this, it's very important to learn to recollect what we have experienced in God. In the fact that God has restored us into a relationship with him, which Peter uses the phrase as a new birth. He talks about it later on. So also, we have been bought, we have experienced a new birth through the imperishable, he says, through the imperishable precious word of God. And he says, God has redeemed us by the precious blood of Christ. It's so very important for us to understand our identity in God, our experience in God, and to know that this God who has brought us to himself will shield us. I'm not saying we won't suffer. Peter was not saying that. But he says the first thing to understand is that we are shielded. And so we praise God. You know, a culture of praise. And that's something you will notice even when you read about people who are persecuted for the faith. The one thing is that they even praised God for the privilege that they had to suffer for it. So that's the first thing. You know, the whole issue in the early church was it was a community that was constantly praising God for the fact of what God has done for them. They were not picking verses from here and there and making a garland of praise. It was an experience of an encounter with God, which Peter says, you should understand, you have a special place with God. And you are shielded by God until, he says, until you, the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. The second thing Peter says is that this hope which you have, in this you greatly rejoice. He says in verse 6, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Now Peter is saying, yes, we have this great hope. And so what happens is this hope is what we makes us rejoice. Even when we go through, he says, all kind of trials. Definitely he was not talking about the plague, but he was talking about different kinds of trials that the church faced at that time. Not only about persecution, you know, suffering for doing good, as he talks about it later, you know, being misunderstood, all those things are there. You know, sometimes when suffering comes, we sometimes can think that we are the only ones who are going through suffering. And very important for us to understand this experience that we go through, he says, these have come to prove the genuineness of your faith. The greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in the praise and glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. He says, the second important thing is, when you go through difficult times, you begin to, because of the hope that you have, what happens is, whichever way, Peter is not talking about plague and talking about pandemic, but he's talking about persecution or suffering. And I think it's the truth. When we look back at our suffering, of course, we will rejoice in the fact that, you know, God healed us, or God, you know, worked a miracle. God answered prayers. But what Peter says is this suffering is also a test. It brings out the high quality of our faith, the genuineness of our faith. And I'm sure when we share our experiences of healing, experiences of God having taken us through the time, we would be rejoicing in the fact of the lessons people learned about trusting God about how he does things in our life. Of course, sometimes, you know, even though there are people who have lost loved ones. And the very important thing is, even in that experience, you will find that people have gone through will say, you know, it was so difficult. And it was so difficult, but God helped us through, and the faith that he exercised. And so he says, suffering actually shows the genuineness of our faith. You know, the genuineness, because sometimes you're not saying you don't have faith, but what happens is sometimes we get very comfortable with our faith. And so what happens is that when we have suffering, we begin to see the quality. You know, people say, why me, God, why me? By me, you know, I remember when the plague started, you know, or the pandemic started in the first week, I got a message from one of the pastors, not Pastor Chandran, but one of the pastors who sent to everybody to say, don't worry, it will not infect the servants of God. You know, now I don't know which verse he found in the scripture. And then I wrote to him and said, because he didn't know. I told him there are quite a few people I know who are pastors and missionaries, you know, who are infected. You know, I remember that was in the first wave. And from America, there were a lot of news about pastors writing and saying how they felt and how. And I think sometimes, you know, we just take, you know, our own imagination and try to encourage people. Now, Paul is not saying, Peter is not saying that. He says there's something that suffering does, and in which we can look back, and I'm sure the genuineness of our faith, the depth of our faith, and just when we thought, I think that is something that happens. The third thing that Peter would talk about, this hope, is the fact that in these sufferings, sometimes it is possible to be pushed to a corner. And so he says in verse 13, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I'm holy. The third important thing that you will notice in the early church is that suffering and persecution did not mean they took a break from their character. Very important. He says, be holy even as I am holy. Because hope is expressed still in the context of our character. You know, John writing later on in his epistle, you know, in chapter 3, would say that we don't know how we will be when Christ comes. But we are children of God. And he says that hope purifies us. And that's very important. Hope has a direct impact on our character. Because it is in times like this, we see also not just the genuineness of our faith, but our commitment to the character of God. Be holy, even as I am holy. You know, sometimes, you know, I remember hearing about an Anglican bishop who was visiting a bar or something in UK, and they were having some celebration, and he was there with his friends, and somebody, the waitress, by mistake, dropped the soup on him, and it was hot soup, and you know, he got burnt, you know, dropped it on his leg, and he was, you know, they were all, and the whole people in the bar were waiting to see what the bishop would say. Because he was a bishop and he had his robe on, I think, or everybody knew he was a bishop, and hot soup on his leg. And he knew that all the eyes of the people were on him to see how he will react. So he looked at one of his elders and said, can you on my behalf please curse him? You know, curse the lady, you know, because, you know, it is a time like that. We'll say, man, I never knew you had this part of your character, you know, and it's very important. What Peter is emphasizing, not just here, all through in this letter, is about the holiness of God's people. It doesn't matter how much suffering we go through, what kind of suffering we go through, but important is to notice, to be holy, even as I am holy. The character of God. Let me move on. I know that, I don't want to take too long. The fourth important thing that Peter would say as he continues, he says in verse 22, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. The fourth important thing is that, you know, in the context of all that happens, the hope that we have is a hope which includes others, collective, because this particular pandemic or this lockdown, unfortunately, has made most of us selfish people. You know, of course, I think we have to look after ourselves. We don't want to worry about others, you know, because if we don't wear a mask, we'll get it. But on the other hand, we can forget. I know that Dwarka congregation is a very caring congregation. But in many places, people have become very selfish. There are neighbors who are struggling. We don't have love. And Peter says, you know, having purified yourself, love one another deeply from the heart. You know, very important. The early church, even though they were persecuted, what shocked everyone is said, see how they love one another. See how they love one another. Caring, knowing, you know, is there anything I can do for you? Very important. I recently saw, something which, you know, somebody had put up on, I think, Facebook or a comment somebody made to say that I feel so restricted. I cannot go when my friends are grieving. And I was wondering, what is the reason you cannot go? You see, because unless you have COVID and you're not allowed to go, you know, there are a lot of people outside who are serving others. And we need to look for ways in which God, and say, pray and say, God, I know you want us to love each other deeply. Please teach me. Maybe it's a phone call to somebody. You know, it's just a call and talk to them. Say a word of comfort. Don't waste 24 hours in basically loving yourself. you know, very important, because it's not worth loving ourselves in times like this, because it's a whole world which is hurting. And very important for us to be thinking of others at this time. And then Peter says, the fifth important thing that Peter would talk about is in chapter 2. He says in verse 1, rid yourself of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. And like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, Peter very strongly emphasizes the place of the word of God in our encounter with God. He talks about this word that we have been saved by. He says in chapter 1, verse 23, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. And again, he talks that the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Now, Peter says, at the end of the day, what sustains us is our desire to grow up, not crave spiritual milk. Now, I think we all have time. Sometimes, of course, people say, even during lockdown, I've heard people say, I don't have time. That is poor management. You know, all that you do is you get up in the morning and you're in the house most of the time. In fact, all the time, maybe. It's just a management of your time. And there is one area that we should grow in. That is, he says, grow up in your salvation. Desire the pure spiritual milk that God gives to us. And I think, as a church, I know you're committed to great teaching of the Word of God. But don't let all teaching only be teaching that you are listening to, but also become students of the Word of God. This is the time. There are 66 books in the Bible, in case you didn't know. You know, very important, because most people are stuck in Psalm 91 and Psalm 23. You know, but there are more in the Bible, you know, to read. Because that shows the bankruptcy or the shallowness of the Christian faith these days. That's, you know, Paul, you know, Peter doesn't go on quoting verses, but he's so full of the scripture. And I think, we don't know when this pandemic is going to end. I don't know, it may end in July. Some people are saying there's going to be a third wave. But definitely, you can start planning and saying, God, by the end of December, I want to study. You know, talk to Pastor Chandran. He's a great Bible teacher, and he can tell you where you can find it. Now, don't say, I attend small groups. You know, that's not enough. You know, in Peter's time, there were no small groups and big groups and, Zoom calls. But each one of them was asked, you know, you don't say, I'm somebody, you know, I only drink milk which somebody else has already spat out. No, that's not what Peter says. He says, as newborn babes crave for spiritual food, each of us should have a craving for God's word. Very important. And finally, Peter would say that this hope that we have is something that builds us in the inside, but remember, he says in verse 9 of second chapter, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This hope is something that gives you a new identity. Yes, we are the children of God. We are all constantly saying, you know, we are the children of God. You know, God has redeemed us. But Peter says, no, but it's not all for you. Yes, that is very important. But what you should understand is that you are here to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. He says, that's your calling. He said, because you are a royal priesthood, a chosen people, a holy nation, that you may declare. This hope is not something we sing about, we talk about, we have theological discussion on Paul's understanding of hope and New Testament understanding of hope. That's not the end of hope. The end of this hope, because we have been redeemed, is to declare to others the praises of God who called us out of darkness. And this lockdown is a great time because we need to be, the church is, I've seen most creative at this time than ever before. I'm not saying ever before in 2000 years of history of the church. We've been very happy doing what we are familiar with. And that is what the church has been shaken up. You know, to say, no, we don't want, you know, you cannot meet. So we moved into Zoom, into breakout groups. But this is not the purpose. We are here to declare the praises of him who called us from darkness. How do we do it? In a nation which is so dark, people still searching for light and truth. How can we who know the light, who have moved from darkness to light, just keep it to ourselves? Because this hope is not something that we actually talk about and sing about. You know, last week, I think they raided some place and they found oxygen concentrators and they were arrested. Of course, they said that these fellows wanted to sell it and that's why they arrested. But just imagine if we find somebody who has got 35 oxygen concentrators and they are busy talking about how much they have and how they are guaranteed that if there is a problem, they have enough oxygen to breathe. And then you go and say, hey, are you having a problem? There is a whole world outside which is looking for oxygen. What are you doing? You're busy about the number of oxygen concentrators you have in your home, which you're not using, and you know you don't need it. Now, Peter is saying that. You know, you've been moved from darkness to light. And you're here to declare to a world which is in darkness. So my prayer is that as a church, we will begin to realize that hope is not an emotion that we sing about and we whistle about, but actually it is a lifestyle. A lifestyle in which it is marked by praise of that hope. Secondly, a lifestyle that even during suffering and pain, what will are the genuineness of our faith will be seen. A lifestyle in which we will be committed to character of God during this time. Because hope has to do an expression. It will purify us. A lifestyle in which we would be known for our love for one another. Deep love, as Peter would say. A lifestyle in which, even during difficult times, we will grow in our knowledge of God. And finally, a lifestyle in which we will be committed to sharing with others. Ask God for more creative ways by which we can actually share with others so that our experience of how we have handled, even in dark times, the light that is in us, because we have moved from darkness to light. Thank you very much again, Sajjan and Pastor Chandran, for the privilege. Let me close with prayer. Is it okay if I pray? Our Father, we thank you for the hope that is given to us, the imperishable hope. And God, that is kept for us. And God, one day we will see the fullness of that hope, God. But we thank you that we have been born into that living hope. And I pray, oh God, that for each person here, each family represented, and for the congregation at Dwarka, God, I pray they would be known as a community of hope, even during this time. Thank you, God. Your scripture, your word has so much to give us about the hope that comes to us. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.